You know, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me, to the Father, except through me. And only that's the only way. And I always say, if you got your Bible, so turn to Mark chapter 4. Starting with verse 35. In the same day when the eve was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Now I want you to remember that part right there. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Father, as I come to thee this morning, I come not in myself, but I come in that precious name of Jesus. I ask, Lord, that you anoint this lump of clay. Lord, let me decrease and let you increase. Let me not say one word that is not of you, but let the words of you flow through this lump of clay today. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, many years ago, first of all, a lot of you don't know me, and that's okay. You don't have to know me as long as you know him. That's all that matters. My husband and I have traveled to many churches. We have been preaching almost 50 years, but it's not what you had then. It's what you are today. It's how you walk with God today. It's not how high you shout inside of a church. It's how you walk when you're on the outside. It's not how you live on Sunday. It's how you live on Monday. That's what counts. You can sit in a church and sing holy, holy, holy and live like the devil on Monday. That's not God. That's not God. God doesn't work that way. He said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. This doesn't change. It does not change. If it was spelt S-I-N in grandma's day, it's still spelt S-I-N in my day. And it'll still be spelt S-I-N in tomorrow. God did not change. But I can see as these disciples got on this ship, and you know, we say, where was their faith? Where is our faith? Where is ours? Years ago, when my children were very little, we lived in a mobile home on the north side. They probably was around 2 and 3 years old, because they're a year apart. And then my husband had just went to work probably maybe an hour ahead, and a big storm came. All of a sudden, it was so dark out, you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. And the wind was blowing, and the lady next door came and said, Diane, you need to get the kids up to they called the laundry house or wash house, because it was cement. I said, okay. I got their little jackets on them. I went to pick them up in my arms to go out the door to go. I opened the door and it was like God opened the heavens and the rain poured. I knew in my natural I could not carry two kids and make it all the way up there. It'd be like I'm walking from here outside. So I closed the door, I took off their jackets, I sat down in the floor, I put one on one side of me, one on the other side, I wrapped my arms around them, and I began to pray. I said, God, glory to God. I said, Lord, I am in this, just you and me. And I can, there's no way I can make it up to that wash house, and that wash house can't save me anyway. But I said, God, you have the power to move and undertake for us. And as I was sitting there with my arms wrapped around them and I was praying, the Lord spoke to me and he said, I rule the heaven and the earth. Be not afraid, for I am with you. Glory! I am with you. Not the wash house. Not the storm, but I am with you. I. And that's what he is saying to you and I today. I love what he said a couple weeks ago. You know, our first thought when somebody gets sick is head to the medicine cabinet. That is our first thought. Years ago, they didn't have a medicine cabinet. Remember, Jesus didn't change. So who did they go to? They went to the rock. They called on the Lord first. First of all, and that's what he said. He said, prayer. Go to the one that can move that mountain. Go to the one that can calm that sea. Go to the one that has the power to move when nobody else can. I'm not telling you not to take medicine. I'm not telling you not to go to a doctor. I think you should obey what you think. But your first thought should be to go to him. Go to him first and see what he does. He works through doctors. He works through nurses. He works through them all. But we need to learn to go there first. That should be our first thing. If it's not, that means our fire has came down to a pilot light. Some of you probably don't even know what a pilot light is. But years ago, our stoves had a pilot light on them. And that's how our spirit gets sometimes. It's got down to a pilot light. And we need to learn how to turn the gas on, which is him. And that comes through praying, reading the word, and fasting. We need to get that fire burning again, that it goes from here all the way up. And when it comes up, it's going to go out. And it's going to spread. Whew! I feel Jesus. If you don't, that's okay too. I can do it all by myself. But Jesus said to the disciples, this is the verse I want you to listen to. He said, let us get in the ship and go to the other side. He didn't say they wasn't going to go through a storm. He didn't say they wasn't going to have hard times. He didn't say that things wasn't going to happen, but he said, let us go to the other side. When God speaks, it's going to come to pass. It's going to happen. Even if you and I don't know it, it's going to happen. He said, when he said, let us, he meant we're going to get over there, but it may be in the rough. It may not happen the way you think it should. I may not see it the way God sees it, but he sees it the right way. And when he said that to them, They should have knew that God had said, let us. But you see, that's just like us. Sometimes God speaks, then our doubt, our faith becomes little. Little. We say, Lord, is that really what you're saying? Lord, is that what you're really telling us to me to do? I've had God sometimes tell me, go do something, and I've had to say, Lord, are you positive? Not like God was going to make a mistake, but, you know, I had to question it. Are you sure, Lord, that's what you want? Are you positive, God? And finally I say, Lord, I'll obey. I'll do what you tell me to do. I'll follow where you lead me. I've had some people come against me, and that's okay too. I'm like a duck, that water rolls right off my back. You know what? People's gonna talk no matter. Always remember, when they're talking about you, they're letting somebody else rest. You know? That's the way it goes. That's life. And you just go on. But anyway, several years ago, I don't know exactly how many, but several, we were at church camp. And normally I had a routine. I'd do this, then end up at the tabernacle. We was 10 miles from town. We was at Wisconsin Rapids. But this day, all of a sudden, I said to my two oldest granddaughters, I said, oh, no, I've got to go back to the cabin. I forgot my Bible. So I turned around. I went back in the cabin. When I walked in, there sat my husband, gray, blue. And I said, what's wrong? And he said, my chest hurts. I just want to lay down and go to sleep. I said, oh, no, you ain't laying down and going to sleep. I wrapped my arms around his shoulder. I thought, Lord, what am I going to do? Everybody's headed for the tabernacle. But I swung that cabin door open, and it just so happened a young man that was headed to the tabernacle walked past. And I said to him, can you go and tell him call 911 and go get our nurse from the, well, she was from our church, go get Sister Jill from the tabernacle and tell her to come. Well, anyway, I kept holding my husband and I kept praying. I said, God, only you can intervene. Only you can move right now. Now, don't think I wasn't trembling, because I was. I wasn't strong, let me tell you. But I was strong at that time. And they came back and we got him down, and by the time they called 911, they was on their way there. And her and her husband was doing CPR on him, and I was talking to him. We got him in the ambulance. We got to Wisconsin Rapids. I told him to call my children because they were in Kenosha. And I said, tell them we're going to Wisconsin Rapids to the hospital. We got to the hospital. They said, who can interpret? We need an interpreter. I said, I'm right here. I'll go with him. I went in with him. We all threw him. They were giving him shots. And I was praying. I had him by the foot because they was all gathered around up out of the front. And I'm down by his foot, and I'm looking at him where I can talk to him. And I've got a hold of him. Glory to God. I got a hold of his foot. I said, devil, you're a liar. You've got to leave this room. But then they came back, and they said, we can't get it to stop. We're going to take him to Marshfield. Well, I had no idea where Marshfield was even at. But anyway, they said, that's what we're going to take him by, an ambulance, who are headed to Marshfield. You see, children, when we went to camp, before we ever went, I said, God, let us do what you want us to do, and let us be a light to others. Let others be a light to us. But I didn't know I was going to go through all that to get to that part. But God didn't say that it'd be easy. But he said it'll be worth it all. Glory to God. And we got in the second ambulance, and we're headed to Marshfield. And the young man that was there by me said, you tell me, have him to tell us if the pain stops. Now, I can't tell you how far we was up that road. I have no idea. I had him by the hand, and I was praying. I probably was praying out loud. And I was praying, and all of a sudden I come to myself, and there's an old song that the chorus says, everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. Glory to God. And I tell you, I come to myself, I was saying that out loud. And all of a sudden I looked down at my husband, and I went to tell him that God was going to take care of it. But before I could say that, he looked at me. He said, the pain is gone. Wow. Woo! The pain is gone. Not because of all the shots and all the whatever they were shooting, but because I got a hold of the Master. Woo! Praise the Lord. Amen. Then he said, we got into Marshfield. They got us out. They got us in there. This doctor, it was a Saturday, he probably didn't want to be disturbed, but you know what? God still had another plan. He walks in, he said, where's the patient? And they said, right here, Dr. blah, 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 whatever his name was, right here. And he said, well, I hear he's deaf. I said, he is. He said, well, we need an interpreter. I said, you got her. That's why I told you I'm not good with mics. I said, you've got her. Let's go. He said, can you talk fast? I said, I can keep right up with you. Just talk on. I knew he wasn't too happy, but you know what? That didn't bother me either. Nah, I've been there before, and I'm sure I'll be there again. But anyway, I started interpreting. I was telling my husband what he was saying. When they got done, they rolled us in. He said, well, you're going to have to go with us. I said, I will. We went all the way in. They were getting ready to do the plastic, whatever it's called, where they go up in the vein. Anyway, they were doing that, and he got sick, but that was it. God worked it all out. They told me to go out. I had to sign some papers. I had to go out, and as I come around to sign the papers, then one of the paramedics came over to me, and he put his arm on my shoulder, and he said to me, I just want you to know we'll be praying. I said, I appreciate that, son. I appreciate all the prayers. Then they took me back in. I was back in there with him. They took him to the ICU, and the nurse comes in, and she said, nobody can be in here with him. I said, unless you can do sign language, you're on your own then. And she said, why? And I said, he can't hear you. He's deaf. Oh, the doctor walks in, and he said, she is here. You let her stay. She stays with him all the time. So, you see, when God said, when people say you can't, God said, I can. I can. I can. And when the young man came in to do the echocardiogram to make sure it was flowing the blood, he turns and he looks at me and he said, I want to tell you something, ma'am. I said, what's that, son? He said, it sure wasn't CPR that kept this man alive. I said, oh, son, I know that. I know that already. The Master, just the touch of the Master's hand, reached down and touched him. But you see, when God has a plan in your life, it may not work out the way you think. I never planned on leaving the campground, going to one hospital, then another hospital, but God had plans. God had the plans, and his plans always works out. As they were going to, several days later, my daughter and I were there, and we kind of would take turns, her staying and interpreting. I'd go and eat, then I'd come back. But anyway, when they was going to release him to go home, the doctor that did all the stuff, he comes down the hall. I didn't even know it. I was walking. And all of a sudden, somebody put their arm on my shoulder, and I turn around real fast. I'm thinking, who in the world knows me here? And I turn around, and it's that doctor. And these are the words that man said to me. He said, I don't know how that man's even alive today. Because most people that have a massive heart attack the way he had should have not made it. Most people. But you see, when God said everything's going to be all right, I knew from that moment, glory to God, he come to my Shandaya, that God was going to take care of it. God was going to take care of it. And then we get back home, and we's home for a few days. I don't remember all of the days. And it came Sunday, and I said to my husband, I don't think we should go to church today, because he was weak. He said, oh, yeah, we'll go. So we went to church. I walked behind him, or maybe my son did. I don't remember. And we got into church. And when we was coming out of church, someone came to me. Come in. I was still in the church, and my husband was already stepped out. And they said, you need to come right now. There's a man out there that's, he don't know what to say. I thought, well, okay. So I go out. I thought he meant he needed me to interpret. I didn't know. I went out, and as soon as I turned the curve and went out and got out side where my husband was, I looked, and it was our family doctor. And I said, oh, are you okay? You know, I'm shocked. He said, according to the report I got, he shouldn't be alive. He shouldn't be alive. I said, well, guess what? He is, and we're at church. He is, and we're at church. You see, God touched not only there, but here. That doctor is in church today. Not because of me, but because the one that has the power. I never knew I was going to go through that, had to go through that storm. And I'm sure many of you have got things that you can say that you've walked through. I grew up, my mom died when I was 5 years old, but I had a Holy Ghost filled aunt. Oh yeah. I think about a lot of things that Bruce says sometimes. When she went to the altar to kneel, we marched right with her. We sat right there. You see, God had another plan. I remember her saying, I don't know why God took your mother and left three young children, because there's eight of us total, but they all were older. We the three youngest. She said he should have took me, but God has a plan for a reason. But that aunt raised us in church, in prayer, and doing the will of God. We knew what it was to kneel on your knees and pray. We knew what it was to lift your hands and praise God. We knew what it was to pray for others, because she taught us. Not only did she teach us, but she taught us this. This was her roadmap. And I remember when she was passed away, my sister said to me, maybe we should put her last Bible in the casket with her. And I said, no, because I could hear my aunt singing this song, the precious old Bible that will show me the way I won't need when I stand before the King. I said, she don't need that no more. She's got it. She's met the one. She's met him. She used to say, baby, of course I was the baby. When I get to heaven and you hear it thundering, it's just me shouting across the clouds. Just me shouting across the clouds. But as the disciples cried out to God, when they went down and said, Jesus, why are you asleep? We're in a storm. We're in a storm. All he had to do, children, was speak. Peace, be still. peace, be still. And it stopped right away. God can stop your storm instantly, or he can let you go through it. Because remember, as you go through that storm, you grow deeper in the Lord. If he just grabbed a hold of you and slid you through it, you wouldn't have no growing. But as you go through that storm, you grow in the Lord, because you begin to pray and you begin to seek him. Now, it's easy to pick up, well, they don't call it Bell telephone no more, pick up a phone and call somebody and say, pray. But he wants us as a church to learn to lean on him. To lean on him. Let that be your first thought. Your first thing. Say, Lord, I need your help. I need you. Now, it's good for other people to pray, for you to call and say, pray. That's wonderful. If they want to back up to your house and drop garbage, let them take it somewhere else. I'm not here to pick, I'm not a garbage collector. If you come to my house and say, I want to talk about somebody, well, you come to the wrong house. I might say to you, let's get down and pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Because if they talk about them, they'll talk about you. All they can go away and say is, she made me pray. And that's okay. I'm okay with that. I'm fine with it. But as the disciples seen what he did, they said, what manner of man? You know, sometimes we step back after God has answered the prayer, after the Lord has answered, and we say, Lord, why did I doubt you? Why did I doubt you? Why did I doubt you? When God first called me to preach, I didn't want to. I'll be honest with you. I told the Lord, pick somebody else. Two reasons. I never was good at talking in front of people. You wouldn't think that. I couldn't even give a book report. So I said, Lord, how in this world am I going to tell others about you? But you see, God took a hold of me. It's not me that talks. It's the Lord. I can do nothing without him. But with him, all things are possible. All things are possible. When it becomes I, then you got in the wrong category. Because I did nothing. But I serve a one that does it all. And his name's called Jesus. I don't need a pulpit to tell people about Jesus. If I never stood behind one, Bruce, I'm okay too. I can still talk to people out at Walmart, a gas station, restaurant. It don't matter where I'm at. I can tell you about the man called Jesus. I can tell you about what he's done for me. And if he did it for me, he can do it for you. He said he is not respect a person, so he will do the same for you as he did for me. But the second thing was the reason why I didn't want to be a preacher. My dad did not believe in women preachers. And I figured I wouldn't tell him. He lived down at the end of Illinois, the bottom of Illinois, right across the river from Kentucky. He'll never know. I'll never tell him, and he'll never know. That was my thought. But you see, the scripture says there's nothing hid that won't be revealed. Well, we were down south. Probably I'd already had been preaching for a while. Anyway, we were down south for Easter. We's going to be coming home the next morning, leaving. We's going to leave early. And the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to stay one more day. I want you to go to church with your dad tonight. I went, okay. So I told my husband, I said, we got to stay one more day. We've got to go to church. I got to go to church with Dad tonight. And we got to go to church. And he said, okay. So we stayed. We went to church. Now, you got to realize I come from small towns, okay? So it probably got 300 people in the town I'm from. The next town's probably got 5. You know, it's small towns. So everybody knows everybody. But anyway, we get to church. I knew that voice as well as I knew my name. All of a sudden, this man comes around. My aunt used to have a lot of people come to her house to pray. Lots of people. Well, it just so happened, this man and his wife used to come quite often when they were young, like these young men, boys. Well, to me, they're boys here. And he come around and he looks at me and he said, I remember when you was a young girl. And I went, I said, yeah, I remember you too. I mean, him and his wife was older, but I said, yeah. He said, how about you preaching tonight for us? I said, oh, no, 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 no. You go right ahead. I'm going, oh, my Lord. And he said, okay. He walks around. He shakes everybody's hand. He come right back to me. He said, no, God said you're the one to preach tonight. Well, let me tell you, children, I fear God more than I feared my dad. Okay. Finally, I said, okay. God had already laid a message on me, but I wasn't going to tell nobody. So anyway, when I preached, I kept my eyes right above everybody's head. I figured that way I could not see Dad. When church was over and we got out in the car, I thought, he's really going to let me have it. And these is the words he said to me. Girl, had 5 daughters, kind of like it. He said, girl, you sure stepped on some toes tonight. I said, well, I didn't, Dad. God did. That's all that was ever said. We left the next day. We came home. That was probably about the middle of April, the 1st of May. My brother called and said, all of you, we need to all come home. We had to put Dad in the hospital. My dad hadn't been a doctor in 30 years. I said, for real? He said, yes. Said, we had to put him in the hospital, and they're going to do surgery. So we left. I went down, met with my sisters, and all 4 of us girls went south. We got down there. We got in the operating room. They came out, and they told us that he had 2.5 to 3 months to live. He had liver cancer. You see, God made me face what I didn't want to tell Dad. God made me face that because I needed the victory over that in order to go on. God will bring you, I think they're called hurdles. He'll bring you to a hurdle. And until you get victory over that hurdle, you can't go farther. You've got to go through and get victory before you can jump that hurdle to go to the next one. Each one gets harder. They put Dad in a room and they had some people, that preachers there, and they'd get ready to pray, and Dad turned and he said, go find Diane and have her come in with us and pray. I went in there and I took him by the hand and I prayed, and we prayed. And 2.5 months later, Dad went home to be with the Lord. He never once said anything about me being a woman preacher. It was done. You see, what I feared the most, God just made it clear. What I feared, God took care of that mountain. And that's what I can feel in this church. I feel like some of you are walking through storms. And the storm sometimes the waves are coming like this over you. And you look around and you say, God, I don't know which way to turn. You see, he don't want you to turn. He wants you to look straight ahead. Hold on to that nail-scarred hand. Hold on to it and let him lead you. Let him guide you. Let him take you by the hand and take you through the storm. If he brought you to it, he'll take you through it. Always remember that. You may have others say, I feel like God wants you to do this. But if God didn't tell you first, you wait. God will tell you first what to do. Now, he may confirm it through somebody else. He may give you a song that confirms it. He may give you a scripture that confirms it. But he will tell you first what to do. You wait upon the Lord until he speaks the words. And when he speaks it, you take a hold of it. When God said to me, everything's going to be all right, I knew without a doubt in my mind that God was going to move that mountain. I knew he was going to intervene. I knew that God would take care of it all. But I had to still hold on to that faith. I still had to hold on to God. I still had to say, Lord, I believe. I believe in that old Bible from the beginning to the end. And I believe what you're telling me to do. God will move your mountain, but you got to hold on. You got, first of all, you got to live it in order to, you've got to be able to walk it in order to talk it. If you're not living up to this word, how can you tell others how to live? It's not do as I do say, but not as I do. It's do as he says. Do as he says. For he said, I am the way. He's the only way. He's the only way. We have changed. God didn't. We have. We have. But he is still the same yesterday, today, and he'll still be the same tomorrow. He will not change. The disciples seen what God could do. They seen what he can do. And when he does it, it's done right. Now, I'm guilty. Sometimes I want to help him. But he didn't tell me he needed my help. He just needs my obedience. He needs my obedience. I can never tell you how long the Lord's going to preach because it's not Diane. It's only him and only him. And when I feel the Spirit lift, I know it's time for Diane to shut up. Because without God, I can't do it. But with him, with him, my, what we can do. With him. I enjoy watching different ones minister. I enjoy seeing what God does with them. And I enjoy to know that what they do, and now they use different Bibles. I use King James, but you know what? That's what I've been raised on. Me and King James were friends. And, you know, but the word is still the word. The word is still the word. And that's what it's, we got to stand on, is the word. But I enjoy that one of these days, Bruce, right? That Bruce is going to really let go and let God use him. When he was preaching, you know what? I'm not one to go behind your back. I just tell you right to your face. When he was preaching, or you say minister, I don't know what you say, really. I say preaching. So, 2 weeks ago, and he was walking, and all of a sudden you could see the Spirit when it began to roll up on him. And then he'd stop. I told the Lord when I was watching him, I said, Lord, one of these days I want you to just let the power of God hit him. Glory to God. Woo! Yeah. Let the power of God hit him that he feels it, that he can't hold it down, but turns that pilot light from a pilot light, turn it to a fire, and let it begin to flow right on out of him. Because when that fire unites from him, it's going to sweep all over this congregation, and people won't be able to just hold on to their seats and say, not me, Lord, not me, I'm not going to get up. But the power of God's going to be so strong across this congregation that they won't be able to do that, nobody will have to say, lift your hands. They'll lift them by themselves because it's coming from the inside out, and it's on fire. You ever see a kettle of potatoes boil? Not instant, but the real thing. You ever see them when that fire's on high and they begin to boil? If you don't get over there pretty soon and turn it down, they're going to go over. That's what God wants in the church today. He wants to put on a pot of old potatoes and turn that burner on, and the real potatoes, put that burner on and turn it on and let them begin to boil from the inside and come on up. Oh, hallelujah! And set it on fire. And when we begin to be obedient ourselves and it begins to move in you, it's going to pour on the next one. And the next one. Years ago, they used a coffee cup with a saucer. Now they use mugs. But years ago, they had a coffee cup and had that saucer, and they pour that coffee in that saucer and drink it out of there because it'd be so hot. Well, let me tell you, we need to get some coffee cups with a saucer. We need to let them coffee cups get filled up with the power of God coming down so strong upon us that it pours out into the saucer. And when you go, then that saucer is going to overflow to everybody else in this place. We need to let God have his way and quit holding on and saying, Lord, maybe they don't want that. Well, let me tell you something. If you don't want to serve God, that's your business. But that don't keep me from not doing it. If you don't want to say praise the Lord, that's okay too. I can still do it. God, it don't matter who you are, where you're from. We've been in many churches. We've traveled a lot. We've drove many a mile. But I never look, wonder what's on that door's name. You see, the door name don't mean a hill of beans. It's what's down inside of here. What's down in here is going to count when I stand before God on that great judgment day. That is what's going to matter. Whew. That's when I tell I'm old. One of these days, children, he's going to say, come home. Come home. And when he does, I want to be able to say, here I am, Lord. Here I am. That I pray that I leave the legacy with my children to pray, to seek God, to walk with him. They don't have to do it like mom does. Just do it the way the Lord does. Just do it the way he does. That's what's going to count when we stand before God. You can leave them money. You can leave them treasures. But that won't mean nothing when they stand before God. It's what they have down on the inside of them that's going to stand when they stand before him. So if you're walking through a storm today, well, first of all, let me do this. The Lord said when he called me to preach, he said, never dismiss a service without giving an altar call. If nobody comes, that's between you and God. I have to obey what God tells me. So if there anyone here that don't know Jesus, the greatest gift is kneeling at that old-fashioned altar and saying, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Because he gives you eternal life. He gives you eternal life. And if there's anyone here that needs prayer, you come. We'll pray with you. Pray for you. And let God do the work. And only he can do. Because it's him and him only. Him and him only. Praise the Lord. I think we're early. If I can see that clock right. But I'm not on a time schedule. I want us to stand. Now, I can't carry a tune if I had a bucket to carry it in. But you know, many times we look up and say, oh, how I love Jesus. Do we mean that from here out, or do we mean it from a lip service? There's a difference. There's a difference. I want us to lift our hands and sing that from here and let it come. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh,
how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, handoromokoli namashandama sandaya. Hidaromokoli namahaya. Yes, chika namashandamo sandama handaya. Yes, Jesus. Because love me.
Hallelujah.
Just think of them words. He first loved you. He first loved you. He looked down from that old cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Who are you and I not to forgive? Who are we? Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Thank you, Master, that you care. Thank you, Jesus, that you shed your blood upon that old rugged cross for even a wretch like me. Lord, I thank you today for this service. I thank you, Lord, for everyone that was able to make it out. I pray, Lord, that something that we said has touched your children, not because of me, because I'm nothing, but because of you. Because you said your word won't return void, but that it, Lord, it is real. And I pray that you bless each and every one that has came out. I thank you today for your love, for your mercy. I thank you for ever blessing. I thank you, God, for giving me strength when I don't think that I have it. But I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to tell you one more thing. You can sit if you want to, or you can keep standing. That don't bother me either way. I don't know a lot of people's names, but the young girl that sings right here. Several weeks before this happened, I'd been praying. You know, after a while, your body gets tired. And when you travel a lot, when you minister a lot, you pray for a lot of people, you wear out physically. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'll pray for all of them. I'm more than willing to pray for any of them, but I'm getting tired. And I feel like I just cannot hardly stand and preach like that again anymore. Because when the anointing gets on me, it's on me. And then when it leaves, you're like a wet noodle. But anyway, whatever, Sister Lori?
Yeah.
Oh, I did good. The old lady remembered. She had got up and she said, I want you to go to somebody and tell them what you feel God wants them to, you to tell them. And this young girl come off of that platform. And before she ever come off, the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to tell her something. I said, okay, Lord, I will. Before I could get out of the seat, she come off of that platform, come walking down, and I thought she was going out the doors. And I wanted to make sure I could catch her. But before I could say anything, she come in between the seats and she stood right in front of me. She said, God told me to tell you something. I said, okay, you go ahead. And this, I don't remember all of it, but the main part was, God, she said, God told me to tell you he's not finished with you yet. That he's still pouring his oil out on you. That he's still pouring his oil out on you. And then she prayed for me. And then I told her that God wants her to learn to let go. Quit holding the spirit down. Quit holding it down. And let God use her. I'm waiting for the day she shouts across this platform. I may not see it, but I'm still praying. But you see, even though we're tired, God's not done yet. Yeah. And until he says, it's over. Until he says that, then it's not over until then. But I'm thankful, number one, for that you're obedient to God and that she was obedient to God. You see, sometimes we don't obey God. And when we don't, we hinder what God wants to do. And that's all of us. Well, I'm really officially done now.